You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis. Daria Ann is not feeling well tonight. If anybody caught my show on Sunday, Just Believe, you probably noticed, because we talked about it a lot, that I was under the weather. I had a sore throat and a chest cold and cough, and I still have the cough, but the rest of it's gone away. And I think somehow through the phone I passed it to poor Daria, because now she's in the same boat. So she's not with us on the show tonight. If she's feeling better, she may call in at some point. But for now, it's just me. You're stuck with me, everyone. So sorry about that. Anyway, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss is one of the shows on the RightStream Network. The network consists of my show, Just Believe, which I kick the week off on Sundays with Just Believe. Mondays, we have Military Monday with John D. Gresham, and he's on at 1 p.m. Eastern. Then we have Tuesdays, we have Daria Show, which is RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, we have SEO Strategies with Snapperhead. Thursdays, of course, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And then tomorrow, the weekends with the Speculative Fiction Cantina with S. Evan Townsend. And he's on 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's our lineup. We are still looking for somebody to host a show on Saturdays. So anybody interested in hosting a show, we're looking for, I don't know, something upbeat, something where people can call in and get advice, maybe like either a life coach or something like that. We're health and fitness, even a paranormal expert, like a paranormal investigator or something. Anything just, I don't know, that people are really interested in. We'd like to have a 7-day a week lineup, and right now we have 6. So we are looking for that. So anybody who has any interest in that, go to rightstreamradio.com, the contact page, and you can fill out the form on the contact page, and that will go to myself and Daria, and we will then talk about it and see what we can do. So everyone, my website, by the way, is lisatarvis.com. Tonight we are talking with Stacey Halperin, who is an actress, an author, a motivational speaker. I believe she's been on Oprah 13 times. So my big question is, Stacey, I'm just going to bring you on right now. What the heck
Hello.
Did Oprah want to? Hi. What did Oprah want to talk to you about 13 times?
What didn't Miss Winfrey want to talk about?
That's a shorter
she
list,
wanted
right?
She want to talk about everything from weight to body parts that hang, to boyfriends, to my experience of going to sap dances. You name it, this woman wanted to talk about it.
You know, I always thought she was, I mean, you know, I didn't watch a lot of the shows. My mom, when I was, you know, like in my 20s and stuff, she watched it a lot, and I would catch it once in a while. And then when I was on my own, I would catch it, you know, watch it every so often. But I've got to tell you, she always seems so down to earth, so real, and is struggling with the problems I think all women struggle with. You know what I mean? All that money and all that fame, really, when it comes down to it, she's having problems keeping weight off too, just like the rest of us, you know?
You don't even know how true that is, because I hear from people all the time, and it's a little bit of delay, so I'm sorry if I went over you. What it is people say to me, well, of course Oprah can get thin. Oprah has a trainer. Oprah has a cook.
No,
That doesn't matter. Oprah also has money, and she can go eat at all these luscious places, And she still has to be the one to tell the cook to come over. And she
right.
has to be the one to get to the gym. You know, nobody can pull you out of your bed. I try to tell people, you don't have to have money to lose weight. People say to me, too, I can't afford to go to the gym. I said, you only need two things, concrete and steps, and you can exercise.
Right. Right. And what I think is interesting is I've heard that same thing about Oprah. Of course, you know, she has somebody to cook for and stuff. It doesn't really matter because I got to tell you, you can't pay somebody for willpower. Do you know what I mean?
No
you can't
way.
Pay somebody to give you willpower. Willpower is internal. And I think when it comes right down to it with weight loss, and now I'm on Nutrisystem actually right now. And I've lost 21 pounds so far on Nutrisystem. I'm doing it super slow. Like, I take days off and, you know, I'll lose it. It's been 2.5 months that I've been on the program. And, you know,
right.
I've lost 21 pounds, which is great. But I'm like, I'm not trying to rush it off, you know. I'm like, even though, you know, you can't wait to be thin again. But I've had like a total of 50 pounds I wanted to lose. And it's so funny because, you know, you start off and when you're younger and you'll be like, oh, my God, my weight's up 5 pounds. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then before you know it, it's 50 pounds and it's 100 pounds.
And for me, 400 pounds overweight. So I totally relate. And, you know, it's so funny because people always apologize to me. They go, listen, I want to talk to you about my weight problem. But, you know, it's not like what yours was. I learned a long time ago. You don't measure sickness with this food thing by pounds. I've had people that I would kill to have their body, but in their mind, they were the same 500 pounds that I was.
Right, right. You know, it's so funny. The first time I went to your website, I saw there's a couple beautiful pictures of you, I'm sure now, how you look now. Professional pictures, you know, you can tell.
Right.
And then
photoshopping.
It's you know, you see the slideshow of the picture, and then there's a picture of you there's a picture of you on the sofa when you were overweight. I'm like, holy crap! You look incredible. You look so good. Were you one of those people that they always said, oh, it's so sad that you're overweight because you have such a pretty face?
Oi, this is a Jewish word. It goes oi. Lisa, you have no comprehension. But first, I'm going to be very, very honest with you and your viewers. I lost 368 pounds, and that happened very fast in 3 years. And then after that, the gastric bypass that I have wears off. People don't understand that.
Right.
And in the last 4 years, four or five years, I put back 80. So instead of acknowledging and going, Stacy, wow, you kept off well over 200 pounds. It's a decade now. I, in turn, say, oh, my God, I can't forgive myself. And I worry what people think of me because, you know, they think of me as this person on Oprah. But the truth is we are all, and I'm being honest, it sounds corny, but works in progress. There are no finish lines with this whole food thing. And there just aren't. You're going to be working at it the rest of your life. So, like, buckle in for it. And
right.
it's not, you know, gastric bypass certainly isn't the easy way out because you only have a certain amount of time to do it, and then you're on your own again.
Right.
So I got to be honest. I don't exactly look like I do in those pictures because I'm overweight, but I'm not 558 pounds anymore. And it's all about me and you, whether you have 50 pounds and the next one has 100 pounds, we both have to do the same thing today, okay? We both have to do the same job today, and it's not an easy job.
No, it certainly isn't. It's actually, you know, every day, like today, I was like, you know what? I really could go for some baked ziti, and it was in the refrigerator because, you know, there was like half left that, you know, from dinner the other night, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just eating it, and I'm like, oh, I never eat like that for lunch. I have like this little itty bitty cup of like Nutrisystem soup or something, you know, and I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just doing whatever, you know. But then I try
Lisa,
to make other choices.
I wanted,
you know, my throat's been sore, and I wanted something cold, and I'm, you know, and there's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, my very, very favorite, sitting in the freezer, and then there's my fat-free frozen yogurt, and I grab the fat-free frozen yogurt, and I eat that instead of the ice cream. So it's constant making choices. You know, you're constantly making choices.
Right, and it's always on our minds. But I have to tell you, my hat is off to you because my fiancé also once weighed 500 pounds, and he and I do not keep anything that would even tempt us in the house.
Right.
And if I want to, go out. But I have to, if I don't keep my environment, but I don't have kids right now, except for my little dog, and he's underweight. But I'm saying I keep a safe home. And my fiance and I made a pact when we met, since we both had this eating disorder. We said, look, if we eat together, we're going to eat where we live off the, like we were in North Carolina. Now, we're going to eat North Carolina off the map. But, and I know this sounds weird because we're always together, so we eat a lot healthy more than we don't eat healthy. However, if I go and I want to have something, I do it on my own and he does it on his own. Because I'm with him a lot, and I don't want to turn into an eating buddy with the person I spend most of my time with.
Well, and that's a perfect example of, like, what I have with my husband, because my husband he's an airline pilot, so he's gone half the time. So when he's gone, I'm good with my diet. I am on it. I have no problems. I'm good. But when he's home and he's constantly, you want to go get something to eat? You want to order a pizza? You want to do this? And I find myself just saying yes, or I was before I was, on Nutrisystem. I just kept saying yes. I wasn't even hungry, and I was eating because he was hungry. You know,
I have
a 21-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 16-year-old. So this is junk food central for the most part. There's a lot of cookies, ice cream, you know.
Let me tell you how I feel about that. And you know, we can always agree to disagree. Okay, if I had a child now, see, I consider an eating disorder is on a continuum. Not everybody is as serious, and some people are. But with the kind of disease I had, I was the same as an alcoholic and a drug addict, okay? Except for I substituted sugar for cocaine. But you know what's so funny? If we always take addicts like that very seriously. But I was killing myself with food. And some people might not be killing their bodies, but they're killing their minds and they're driving themselves crazy. So if I had a child now, I would say, here's $20. Go and get what you want. I would buy my safety, because I learned something, Lisa. I learned I don't need willpower. I need won't power. I have to literally know what my weaknesses are and stay ahead of them, or else I'm doomed.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody is so different with that. You know, everybody has their own, I guess, I don't know if it's weaknesses. I mean, like certain things, like for me, you know, red wine can be hard to resist once in a while. Like, I'll have it. You know, the thing is, I don't think dieting, and I know we're taking this interview in a whole different way because of we're getting on the dieting thing, but we'll switch back because I have other things I want to talk to you about too. But I don't find myself being completely, I don't find myself totally resisting every craving I have. I fight them. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I read somewhere that a great trick was, if you're craving something, set a timer for 30 minutes. And if you still want it 30 minutes later, have it. Because
I heard that too.
Did you?
And
now, the theory is that if it's a real food craving, you know, it'll go away by then. But if you sit there and you're watching the timer, oh my God, only 20 more minutes and I can have what I want. You know what I mean? That's obviously kind of, I guess. You know.
Absolutely. And you have to over time. I learned by watching. And one of the things I do talk about in my book, I studied 15 winners. And when I say winner, we're all winners when we're trying. However, people who have kept the weight off 5 to 20 years. And they all, without all meeting each other, they all said the same thing. They said, okay, you know, like, this is how I was and how a lot of overweight people are. They're like, oh, I had a bagel for breakfast, I blew my day. Oh, I had a pint of ice cream, I blew my week. And what happens is, the winners, they say, I had a pint of ice cream, it's lunchtime, I'm going to get right back on a dinner. And because they do that, none of us ever gained any weight from one binge. It's the continual ones that we say, oh, I blew it. If I stopped eating every time I said I blew it, I would never be heavy. And that's something I practiced. And when I was doing my best, it was working brilliantly.
Yeah, I think that it's, I think that that's absolutely true. And I, and sometimes I think people blow it in the morning, you know, with the bagel just so they can eat all day long. I don't really know. I think sometimes we self-sabotage, you know, ourselves, because we know and our, we kind of know how our brains think. To me, if I have a bagel in the morning, I'm going to be super good the rest of the day.
I love the way you said bagel. You said bagel. Bagel. You're from a different area than me.
Yeah,
I'm from the, I'm a southerner.
I have this Ohio accent and this Pennsylvania accent all mixed up, like the Philly accent. I've got like all kinds of weird words I pronounce. My husband makes fun of me too. He's always making fun
and
of me because
I live in the deep. I live in the deep south, and I don't sound like it, do I?
No, you really don't.
I lived in New York my whole life. I've only been living here 3 years.
Oh, really? You know, I think you sound more New York.
More what?
I would say you sound more New Yorkish.
Oh, I am. I will never change my accent. I can't understand when somebody comes up to me and says, "Hi, y'all," and I'm like, that's when I feel fat because I feel like more than one person.
How many of you do you think there, how many of me do you think there is? Tell me about your acting career. When did you start acting, and what have you done acting wise?
Well, it's a very interesting story that I'm going to make it like a New Yorker so I can tell it more quickly. I always wanted to be an actress. I think I even though I was 500 pounds, that wasn't my main problem. I suffered from depression. It just manifested itself with food. So from the time I was a little kid, I was depressed for whatever reason. So I wanted to perform because being another character takes you out of being yourself. And I always loved acting. I loved it. I loved singing. I love entertaining. In fact, when I was listening to your promo before, I was like, I'm calling her later. I want to host this show one time. I would love to do that. but I've always loved it. But I did it for a while, and then I would stop because I would get really sick with my eating disorder, and I'd literally go to eating disorder clinics. But what happened to me is one day Shirley MacLaine was casting a movie, and they wanted a person who was heavy, not as heavy as I did. They wanted a star. In fact, they were thinking of using Rosie O'Donnell. But luckily for me, she was having a baby at that time. And so they met with me, and Shirley just wanted to know what an overweight person, what they feel and what they're like. And like 2 minutes into the meeting, she said to me, "Can you come read? I'm not going to give you the part. I just want to hear you read." So I ended up getting the movie and getting the lead, but what was really hard about it is that I didn't have the physical strength for those 14-hour days, but somewhere, it's like you hear about the woman who lifts, the old lady who lifts the car to lift when there's a child under it. I found the strength because I wanted it so bad.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not to mention they gave me shots in my knees to get me through it. Then I've been auditioning for the last year. They want to do a reality show on my life, and it's being, you know, we shot the pilot, and they're shopping it around to networks. We don't know, you know, 100% if it's going to happen, but I just love it. I just really do. It's something, I love doing a lot of things, but it's one of the things I like doing.
Yeah, and that's so important, too, is that, you know, we all have, like, you know, I think that being happy is such a big way to, I guess, maybe take the, if you stay happy, you find yourself less reasons to maybe overeat, or, and some people have the opposite problem, to undereat, you know, with anorexia and bulimia. You know, there are those two, and I mean, I've got to tell you, I've seen bulimics who have come very close to death, you know, because of their
absolutely.
Yeah, so it can absolutely go the other way, and it's just you know, I think it's so much emotional eating is involved, you know, and so I think when you do something you love, you know, like I love doing the radio, I love doing this, I look forward to this, I look forward to my show on Sunday, I enjoy it, it's to me it's fun. you know, and
well,
it's
that's
what,
why it's important, even if it's not somebody's living, like if someone decided they're not going to be an actress or they don't want a professional painter, you need to do it on some level, because otherwise you're giving up on your dream. Like if you wanted to be an artist your whole life and you're working in Bed Bath & Beyond, doesn't mean you have to be a famous artist, but you can start painting. And I feel
right.
like I love myself the most, like you say, when I'm following my dreams. And a lot of times you hear from people, oh, you're kidding, you think you could do that? Yeah, I think I could do that. I've had this thing in my life, Lisa, where if I put towards the effort, like I wrote Oprah when I was 20 years old, and most people would say, oh, you're kidding, you're going to write her, you're never going to get through to her. But I do those things anyway, just in case.
Yeah, and look what happened. I mean, you ended up, you
yeah.
know, being on her show enough times that obviously you developed a relationship with her, and you know, and I think she's a wonderful person to have, you know, as a friend, obviously.
Oh, yes, it does not hurt to have Oprah in your corner.
Yeah, I mean, really, she's just an incredible person, and I've never met her, and I've, you know, it's just like, you know how you just hear bad things about people, like famous people? You just never hear anything bad about her, and if you did,
right,
I mean, it's crap.
Right, it's true. People love to talk bad about celebrities, but what people say to me is, they say to me, what is she really like, and this and that, and I'll tell you what she's like. When I met her the first year I was on her first show, she wasn't a mega star yet, and she had a very small studio, and the show was live, and after the show, she sat on a stool, and she spoke to everybody. Well, then the next time I was on the show, they took an airport, gutted it out, and made it her studio. And now she has all these projects, so to someone she can seem snotty, but the minute her show is over, she's whisked off to the next project.
Right.
It's just
right.
the difference in how famous you're getting and how she has to, you know, she does a lot of stuff with her time. But it was a positive experience for me because I got to see, I lived in a world where people made fun of me a lot, and I was on the first season when it was live. It's not live anymore. And so what I saw was the show was filmed at 9, and I went back to the airport at 10. And by the time I got to the airport, people knew me. And all of a sudden, I had a cheering squad. And instead of seeing people make fun of me, I've seen people for the last 20 years root me on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess no matter what, I think when you're heavy, I think you can see the best and the worst of humanity. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've talked to people that were severely overweight that they didn't like eating out because everybody judged everything they ate. And it was like they were talking about what they were eating when they were eating it, you know?
Oh, Lisa, that is so funny. It is true. Do you know that I went to California to film one of the scenes, and I was 550 at the time. And a friend of mine said, let's go to this restaurant. And I said, oh, God, we were going to like a 50s diner. And I said I would – did you sneeze?
No.
I thought I heard sneeze.
Oh,
no,
gosh.
But anyway, I said to them – oh, really? I said to them, oh, I made my dog go out when I talk on radio because you wouldn't hear me. You wouldn't hear me then.
I throw one of them. I throw the one out. The other one's allowed to stay. He's a little shih tzu, and he's just laying with me like, I love my mommy. If he wasn't in the room with me, he would be making noise.
Oh, please, don't get me started on dogs or the interview will be over. I am insane. I never had a child. I want to give birth to my Maltese. No, you don't understand. I'm insane about animals. What I was telling you is I said, God, I would love to have a Sunday. And he said, why don't we? This was like a gay friend of mine that I adored. And I said, are you kidding me? A 550-pound woman is going to go into a restaurant and have a Sunday? And he looked at me, you know, because you have to understand, the gay community is so, has always been my best friends because they accepted me when I was a little kid. And
right.
they don't understand that I couldn't have a Sunday. So, like, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, we're going to do this, aren't we? So I just decided to go with the whole thing, and it was the most freeing thing ever because I was a closet eater my entire life, and I was like, I'm eating a Sunday in person. People are going to look at me anyway, whether I have a Sunday or not. So let's really, you know. And so my friend really played it up. He was like, we want extra fudge. No, but I'm serious. And we worry that everybody, I talked to a girlfriend of mine, and like we worry about what people think of what the way we look, no matter what weight we are at. Okay, I'm going to see my mother in Florida. I'm like, what is she going to think of what I look like if I don't look the same I was before? And it takes up so much time in our heads that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got
and it doesn't mean.
You know, for me, before Nutrisystem, before I started, before I lost 20 pounds, I had gotten to the point where I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. Like, and I was, you know, compared to the way you had to have to have.
Don't
to lose.
Apologize to me. I told you before. I get that your problem can be as bad as mine. I get it.
Well, I got to the point where I was uncomfortable. My clothes felt uncomfortable. It didn't matter what size I bought because, you know, it just always felt uncomfortable unless I was wearing yoga pants, which, by the way, I think should be a staple for everything. Everywhere you should be allowed to wear yoga pants. It should just be like no matter no dress code anywhere, just all yoga pants all the time. I love yoga pants. So comfortable.
They're just a heavier Spanx. I can't live without my Spanx. Want a Spanx. I want to take that Spanx lady and, like, worship her because you don't understand. It's such a good feeling when you feel pulled in. And I'm like, where are my Spanx if they're in the, like, one pair's in the wash and the other one's dirty? I'm like, I have to have my Spanx. I'm like, Spanx a lot, whoever, you know, invented these.
Yeah, I know. It's an incredible invention for sure. But, you know, anyway, the whole, you know, looking at it 50 pounds and thinking, I am just uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I had to go see my dad in Florida. Who's sick, and I'm like, God, and I don't want him the last time he sees me to think I'm going to be, you know, overweight. And, you know, you're right.
Oh,
we do so much, we take so much time up in our
heads. Let me tell you something, Lisa. The first time I went on a vacation after I lost 368 pounds, and you have to understand, I was just under 200 pounds coming from over 5. And I've also had 13 plastic surgeries on the skin, which I didn't pay for because the doctor, you know, had gotten on the Oprah show. But I want to let you know something that, so it didn't really look as much, but still I want to let you know that I felt fantastic. I was wearing off-the-shoulder tops. The skin was tight. I was just under 200 pounds. I lived my life over 5. Okay, so now you have to hear this. People would come up to me in New York and go, you're doing great. Keep going. And maybe you won't understand this because it was 50, but I think you will. They said, keep going. And I was like, keep going? When is it enough for people? I mean, my doctors were saying, if you can maintain this the rest of your life, I weighed just under 200 in the best pictures on my website, okay? And I felt great until people started saying this, and I think that's when I went wrong. And it's so funny. The Afro-American community, who I love, I think I should have been born Afro-American, they come up to me because it's a whole different culture. And they come up to me and they say, wow, you look good. You're doing great. I mean, not you're doing great. You got there. It's just a whole other way of looking at things. Now, you can look at your 50 pounds. So what I was saying is I went to Vegas, and I wore a sarong because my legs took the worst toll from my illness with the hanging skin, even with the surgeries. And I was happy at the pool. I wore my sarong, and I would see women who I would kill to weigh what they weigh also covering themselves in sarongs and not taking them off and lying down. And to me, that's as insane as the kind of insanity that I have at 500 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand?
Now,
like,
I don't think I go back to when I was, I mean, I'm 5'9", all legs, and I was skinny as a stick for a really long time. And I remember feeling that way when I mean, in my 20s and stuff. And honestly, I think about that. I'm like, what I wouldn't do to be that size again. And I was self-conscious of how I looked. You know, I still thought I was.
But do you understand? We all do that. We waste the moment. I constantly, you know, my friend thinks I have that illness where women think they're ugly when they're not ugly. And I forget the name of it, body something. But do you know that I absolutely, like, people will say to me, you know, you look pretty. And I'm like, and they think I'm weird that I don't think I'm pretty, but I'm being very honest. When you spend your life, I mean, let me explain something to you. This has been going on my whole life. And sometimes people reach their point of the bottom much sooner than I was lucky to. It took two buildings going down in Manhattan, the World Trade Towers. I lived a mile from there, for me to wake up and say, oh, my God, because I realized I couldn't use my car at that point because they shut off all the streets, only for emergency vehicles. And I said to myself, oh, my God, I'm immobile. I mean, I didn't have a wheelchair, but I couldn't get one city block myself. So that's when I faced it. It took those towers to fall for me to realize I had a very, very severe weight problem. I mean, I knew I was bad, but I just realized that, like, oh, my God, like a meteor falling out of the sky, that if I don't do something, and I said to myself, if the world gets back on its feet, then so would I. So then I was this public figure, and I lost all this weight, and now I've put back this 80 pounds. I only put pictures of my face on Facebook. I feel like I'm hiding again. I don't want to hide. I want everyone to know that this isn't a battle. Like, okay, let me explain this to you. Chrissy Alley, who was, she did, you know, everyone on Slim, not Slim Fast, was it Jenny Craig?
Jenny Craig.
Okay, so what they, I want to tell you what they do because I relate to this. I was hired by a big drug company to be their public speaker. And so what happens with something like Jenny Craig is they, Valerie Bertinelli and Christy Brinkley, as soon as you start gaining weight, you are fired and a new person is hired. And this is something that almost happened to me without them saying it. They were pressuring me to lose weight. They said, we want you to look as thin as you were on that Oprah couch. And I said to them, do you think you're helping me right now with that kind of pressure? If they had said to Christy Alley or to anybody who gained their weight back, you know what, we're going to show in our campaign for Jenny Craig that relapse is the biggest part of recovery. We're going to show you getting back on your feet. If they think they were millionaires now, they'd be billionaires because most people can relate to me. Most people can relate to the fact that if I stand in front of a room, I'm not in a bikini, I put back 80 pounds, but I'm still there fighting and believing. And that's why it's like people expect so much. It's like you have 50 pounds to lose, and we don't see all the positive qualities we have. We just get, like, totally obsessed with, and it's so self-absorbed. Like, to think everybody's looking at our ass.
I know. Oh, my God. I know.
I know. This is like we need to have a pajama party show. I'm just so sick of I'm so sick of weight. Can I tell you something? I never wanted to be engaged. Well, I didn't even start dating until 2004. But when I fell in love, I never wanted to be someone who had the same problem as me. So they didn't want to talk about it. Not only did I find someone who had the same problem, I met him because he asked me to be a drama teacher at his diet camp. And he wants to talk about it all day. What are we eating next? What's motivating us? Let's weigh each other. I'm like, I just want to go, no, I want to go out with my thin friends.
I love my thin friends,
and not just my thin friends, but my people who don't have this illness as bad as me and don't think about that 24/7.
Right. Everyone, I want to just say, which I haven't yet said a couple of things, but Stacy, you can find out more about Stacy at stacyhalperin.com. It's Stacy with a E, so it's StacyHalperin.com. And her book is called Winning After Losing, and I think it's keep off the weight you lost forever, and it's available on her website, so you can go there under, I think, Stacy's store and find it there. Also, if anyone's listening that has questions for Stacy, we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, if you have any questions, call in. You can call 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. Press 1 when you call that number. We'll see you in the queue, and I will get to you as soon as we can. I have so many more questions for you, and I know we've been focusing so much on the weight thing, and I don't know how it happened, but somehow we got there. But
I know. It happens all the time. It happens all the time with people because they know my story.
It's such an incredible thing to have lost that much weight. I mean, and to go from being basically at a point of probably with a shortened lifespan, you know,
and immobility, never dating. I didn't date till 2004. People say, why didn't you date? I said, show me the line of men who want a 600-pound woman. No, you know, I always had a sense of humor about it because without a sense of humor, forget it.
Right, right. Yeah, you're in big trouble if you don't. But, you know. All right, let's take a short commercial break, and everyone, we'll be back with more from Stacey Halpern in just a minute. Hold on, everyone.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring him out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veteran.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Rightstream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Rightstream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Rightstream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Rightstream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Rightstream Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast. A show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Rightstream Radio Network for Just Believe, with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Rightstream Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome back. You're listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis, your host for the evening. Daria Ann is out sick, I think, because I sent her a cold through the airways or something. I'm not sure what happened. Something went wrong. I transferred through the radio. I transferred my cold. Anyway, I actually think the entire country is stuck with this, whatever it is going around right now, because everybody I talk to feels the same way. Anyway, we're talking to Stacey Halpern tonight, and anyone, if you want to call in with a question, call 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. Stacey, how'd you end up in North Carolina? Not that it's not a beautiful state, because it's a beautiful state.
Oh, my God. I miss Manhattan so much. I'm going to tell you what happened. Manhattan is my love affair. That's my second love. But I really wanted to find love, and you don't know when you're going to find love. In fact, I thought to myself I never would, and I asked my shrink. I said, I've had a lot of positive things in my life. Can you prepare me for a life that perhaps I won't have love? And she said, no, I can't do it. That's when Ira saw me in Nashville, my fiancé, speaking at a convention, and he asked me to work at his – he emailed me and said, work at my camp, but I never got the email. He tried again a year later. Oh, did you hear my accent? Later.
Yeah, I know.
So I went to the camp. I taught drama. I also taught the girls self-esteem and beauty, and I would teach them. We would do face masks, and then we'd have beauty spa nights. And I loved it because I never had a kid. I wanted a kid because of circumstances. I didn't. So I got to have all those kids. And I was the cool mom they liked to talk to. So that's right. How I met Ira. And I was originally from New York, but his life ended up down here. But we're still trying to get back to New York. 3 years for me in the South, it's pushing it. I'm sorry to anyone in the South.
You're a city.
New York.
Yeah.
No, you don't understand. It's so hard to live in a world where everything's chain restaurants.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny. You're either, I always say that there are two types of people, city people and non-city people,
The people here are so nice and kind. It's just that I'm used to that pace where you walk out your door,
right.
And whether you
right.
have $20 or $500, you can amuse yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I could do the city. I don't think I'm a city person. I've never really enjoyed being in the city. I mean, once in a while, it's a nice trip. I mean, I'm 45 minutes, probably 30 minutes away from Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia. And I mean, we go down every once in a while when something's going down there, usually for some beer festival or something. But, for the most part, I mean, I'm pretty happy living with cornfields and farms and things. I mean, I live in a really,
I grew up like you. As long as I was 45 minutes from the city, I was fine. I just ended up in the city. It's just it was fascinating for me to go from living in my apartment and watching New York City. First of all, I lived in a neighborhood. Everybody looks at the city as Times Square. I lived in the East Village right near NYU, and there was something always just great going on there.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, New York to me is a train ride. I have to say, as close as we are to New York, which is really pretty close when you're, outside of Philly, no matter what, I always find myself only going if it's a business thing. I've never gone there just to, have fun, just to hang out. It's always been for a business thing. And my husband actually flies out of New York. He flies for Delta Airlines. And he flies out of either Newark, JFK, or LaGuardia. He's there all the time. All I got to do is ride up the friggin' turnpike with him, and I could, be on my own working.
When
you get back to New York, you let me know, and I will have him drop me off, and you and I will tear up the town a weekend or more.
Yeah, and if you go with somebody who lives in New York, when I go to vacation somewhere, I don't want to go to tourist places. I want to find out where the locals eat and talk and chat and all of that. New York
right.
is very different for a person who lives there.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. That's actually really true. I think it's even in my little town, I still... people would automatically, let's go to, no, if you're not from around here, let's go to Applebee's. We know Applebee's is going to be good.
Oh my God.
No, Applebee's. You got to go, because you know the restaurants around,
You can't live in Manhattan and eat at Applebee's. It just doesn't translate.
No, not again.
Now we're getting on to talking about food.
No, we're both going to get off the phone and be hungry. I'm going to grab that cookie dough ice cream that I've been trying to avoid. Anyway,
you don't understand. When I used to binge and go to the supermarket, I would fill my cart with tons of food, but always a health magazine for after, so I could read about the next diet.
Yeah. Oh God. This is random, and I have something else I want to talk about. But random, did you try every friggin' diet pill that came up on the market?
Very interesting question. I got heavy so early that my parents said to me, and it was a very smart thing, if you want to live under our roof, you are never going to take a diet pill. So I've never in my life taken a diet pill. But you know what I know instinctively? There's not one case in all of the United States, probably the world, I just don't know, but in the United States, of somebody who took a diet pill or went on a shake fast and kept their weight off forever. And that's the honest truth.
Yeah, I believe
so
that's
why
true.
Are people fooling themselves just to take a shortcut?
Yep. I have taken them all. If Dr. Oz says take apple cider, apple vinegar cider pills or whatever the hell they are, I'm buying them. I took everything, and I got to tell you, I ended up with, I used to, even in my early, in my 20s and stuff, I took diet pills. I would use ephedra back when ephedra was legal, and I would take it almost every day just to give me a little bit of a boost because, you know, it was a stimulant, and to kind of curb my hunger a little bit. I took it pretty much every day for a long time, even though I wasn't heavy. It was just like a way to stay thin for me because it kept me moving. And I had two little kids and, you know, anyway. So I ended up about 10 years ago with tumors on my thyroid. And immediately I had this connection to those pills, to the ephedra pills. You know, I'm like, that's what it came from. There's no thyroid disease, really very little. One other person in my family has thyroid disease. It's not like it, and it you know, and it does run in families a lot of times. I'm telling you, I really think that that's what caused my nodules, and now I had to have half my thyroid out because they couldn't tell if they were cancerous or not, and now the other side has, and so they took half of it out. So that made me have to go on Synthroid. It started a whole, well, I'm just going to say shit show because that's basically what it was.
Well, Lisa, let me tell you something. You're lucky, you know, because that's not fenfen, is it? It's a different drug, right?
Yeah, it's different. It was fenfen, I think you had to have prescribed. Ephedra, it was over the counter.
Right. Well, with fenfen, people would come up to me when I was 500 pounds, and they'd be taking the pills for like 3 months. The pills were just out, and they were going, take these, they work. And instinctively, I knew, for some reason, even though I was heavy, it was like a paradox. I wanted to be healthy. I know that sounds weird. But I knew, I don't want people trying to sell me on this. Let me explain something to you, Lisa. If somebody, I'm not impressed when somebody says, I lost 25 pounds, 50 pounds, or 500 pounds. I'm impressed with the length of time that they started their program and how much time has passed. That's the only thing that's impressed me. Anybody can lose and gain weight their whole life. Not everybody can keep it off. And the drugs and all that stuff, it's a temporary fix, so it's another embarrassment to go to your family and you gained again.
Right.
There came a point that I literally said to myself, I would rather be 500 pounds than try again and to fail again in somebody's eyes.
Right. And I have to say, of all the pills, and I've taken, trust me, I've taken every combination of herb. You know, if there's an herb, that's, I've done it. I've tried it. Nothing flipping works, okay? I'm not saying that they can't add something to a diet program. The bottom line with dieting is you have to have more calories, like, being spent than you are consuming calories. It's actually a very simple formula, you know? And
right,
I
really.
And on Nutrisystem is one of the things I can say, and I keep saying them, and like they're paying me, so I should shut up because they should pay me. I talk about them enough. Anyway, one of the things I've learned, you know, it's 1,200 calories a day. I'm counting calories. Guess what, people? That's what works. Counting calories works. It's annoying as hell. It's annoying, but it works.
You know, my mind, I went very early on the Duke diet programs, the most famous diet program. Most people were going to colleges, and I was off to Duke because you couldn't go to 18. They have the most famous diet program. And I remember my brother at the time, he was like, I can't tell my friends that my sister's going. He called it fat camp. I can't tell him she's going to the, so he told all my friends I was going to Duke. Meanwhile, I didn't even get out of high school. It was funny. And I'm going to Duke University.
Crazy.
There are no quick fixes. And if anybody hears something that I'm saying right now, not one person in the history of the United States kept off their weight from an all-fast diet where you just have liquid. And like you said, the pills could be a supplement. They could be a part of a whole, but not the whole. Just like gastric bypass doesn't cure you. I'm lucky. Right. You know, a lot of people gain back all their weight.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cure you at all. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, women – this is what I want to tell you about Oprah. I have to go back to an Oprah moment for a minute. People, I used to say – they used to call me every time Sweeps Week was on, which was November and February, which is when that's the most unreal time to be on to them because that's when they're getting judged about their program. So what, they would always call me, and I would say that the producer, I was friends with her, I said, why are they calling me every sweeps week? She said, Stacy, more than presidents, more than rock stars, people are obsessed with the topic of weight.
That's true.
It's true.
I know.
I think it's probably, you know, when you watch commercials, to me, I see two types of commercials, car commercials and weight loss commercials. I swear, they're like, those are the things that are taking over, at least right now. Maybe it's the time of year, you know what I mean? Because it's this time of year and everybody's like trying to sell you a car, and then everybody is trying to lose weight, you know, or worried about their weight, and that only gets worse in January.
Did you ever notice that heavy people are obsessed with watching the food channels? Because my fiance loves them. He's not, you know, he lost a lot of weight, but I'm just saying a lot of people love them. And I had to say to my fiance, if you don't want me to be over 500 pounds again, you need to not watch this when I'm around. And let me explain why. Even if it's just popcorn in the air popper, it makes me hungry enough to get up and eat something.
Oh, my God, I know. I'm going through that
salivate.
With you. I know. I'll be having my little Nutrisystem dinner, and then my kids will come home with, like, you know, McDonald's or something, and you smell those French fries, and you're like, oh my God. It's like, you know, but I could see myself, like, taking the entire small bag of fries and, like, shoving them down my throat and barely tasting them. You know what I mean? Like, I go back to these flashbacks of my not having portion control. I mean, that was it for me. Portion control.
Right, and you have to always recheck yourself, Lisa, because what I do when I start getting completely out of control with my portions, I don't do the Nutrisystem anymore or the Jenny Craig, but what I do is I go get a week's worth of whatever that they have in the store that's like that, where you can make your own week of pre-portioned food, because I start, my eyeballs just start to get big, you know, and portion control is everything, and people kid themselves. Do you know when you go out to a restaurant and you go and think you're ordering a salad at Cheesecake Factory, the least calorie salad is close to 2,000 calories. And then the dressings, and then the crunchy noodles. Do you know, when I go there, there's only one dish I get when I'm doing good, when I go there. And I know they have their skinny menu and all that, but I get the lettuce wraps because you could, it's like you just wrap the chicken in the lettuce. You have to be very careful with change. If you're trying to lose weight, go on their website before you go, because you will be amazed when you think you're eating a vegetarian sandwich, how many calories there are in something. Here we go. We're talking about dieting again. Come on. We're two girls. We have to have something else to talk about.
I know. We have so many other things to talk about. And you know what?
Let's talk about how much I love the name of I knew I wanted to be on your show. I wanted to be on your show because I'm addicted to love and I'm addicted to lip gloss.
Yeah. We came up with the title. Dari and I, boy, that was titles for Dari and I. I mean, it always seems to be like something that we really work really hard for titles of things, but Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, it was so much fun. I mean, it was so fun. And you designed our
logo.
The name
is brilliant.
It was really cute. It was really, really well done. I love it a lot. But what I wanted to ask you that I saw somewhere about you was that you say that vanity, makeup, and beauty saved your life. What does that mean?
Yes. Well, vanity was my sanity. When I was 550, I was so, it sounds like a paradox again, but I was so obsessed with my beauty that from the neck up, I looked like a fat supermodel, literally. I drank coffee from the time I was 20 through a straw so I wouldn't make my teeth yellow. And that was before whiteners. And I was obsessed because I knew, like what you said before, that people thought my face was pretty and people thought my smile was pretty. And I couldn't, and you talk about different stages of this illness. I couldn't, and I totally get where you are because I've been at every stage, but I couldn't buy clothes. I had to have everything made. So the one way I expressed myself was with accessories, jewelry, and makeup. And I knew everything about skincare because if I was going to be fat, I was going to have flawless skin. I could now be an esthetician, literally. But I want to let you know that it's just like what happened to me. And now I'm going to be starting, not right now, but a jewelry line called Hope Gems. And what they're going to be, each one's going to come up with a little card about what gave me hope. And each one is going to be an inspirational gift that you can give someone that is going to pass on hope and also make someone look beautiful, because that's what I love doing. I've always, even though, you know, like you would think someone's 550, they don't know about fashion. I know what looks good on people and what looks good on me and what colors go. It's like I studied it. And so what I'm going to do is, because I'm passionate about childhood obesity, I'm going to donate some proceeds, and I'm going to do, I don't just want to act. I want to make people feel beautiful with accessories the way I felt beautiful. And this is the most important part, Lisa, and I'm talking fast like a New Yorker. Sometimes when people are heavy, they sit around in sweatpants and, you know, with stains on their nightgown. My hope in life, and why I say vanity was my insanity, is every day I got up and I looked as best as I could.
Yeah.
Because that was my hope, that I could make it, like if someone could say, oh, you're pretty, or, oh, how did you put on your makeup, or where'd you get that jewelry? It just made me feel good. It makes me feel good when you look your best. So now people say to me, where are you going dressed like this? I don't have time anymore. I wore black outfits and stretch pants my whole life. I want to look gorgeous every day if I can.
Yeah, I think that's very much like me in a lot of ways, because, you know, I have a tendency to put makeup on. You know, even if I'm staying home, I'm still putting full makeup on. I might not put any, and I'm really freaky about skincare as well. And I may not put foundation on because I don't usually need foundation. And so I figure I'll just let my skin not have to deal with foundation if I'm just staying home. But I still got the eye makeup. I'm rocking the eye makeup. I still got lip gloss on. I still got something on my cheeks. Always.
Oh, I adore you. I adore you, Lisa. I got dressed for this interview. It's in my home.
I do it, too. My kids are like, why are you putting on makeup? I'm like, I got to go on the radio. And they're like,
I know.
What?
Oh, my God. You're like a sister from another. No, you don't understand. I can't feel good if I feel like, you know, I have to answer the door. And even as an actress, every day you meet someone is an opportunity. Too many things have happened to me that somebody looked at me and said, oh, my God, the way this girl puts herself together, and it was an opportunity. I can't afford miss it, but when I'm sitting in front of this thing right now, I'm like, I can't feel like shit and talk like good.
Right. No, I know.
But I'm
still hungry
like you are. I still crave stuff, trust me. I still want to get in the car, and I want to go get something. I always have that feeling. And I want to tell all the women out there, and I know it's a men's disease too, let's start from this moment not hiding from people because we don't feel pretty enough, or we feel too fat, or we feel like we don't have enough money to keep up with somebody. This goes on all the time. Do you know that most actresses that you don't see now, they've gotten too old and they're in hiding, and surgery can only do so much.
Right.
I feel like I would do that. I feel like aging is the most horrible thing for me. I go get injections because I'm trying to make up for lost time. And, I want to make up for all the time I lost. And getting old is so much worse for me than being 500 pounds. I hate it. I don't want to see people. I put my, filters on my pictures. But the truth is, when people meet me, they see me as pretty and they see me as special. We're so hard on ourselves. It's horrible. It's horrible,
yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah, I totally get that because I am I can look in the mirror and be like, oh my God, what the heck is that growing, and just like freak out. And,
I love the way you said that.
And then I'll go out and everybody's like, oh my God, what have you done? You look so incredible. You look so good. What have you done? I'm like, really? I'm like, it's like the first person you're like, all right, they're just blowing smoke up my ass, right? So I'm not buying that. But then you get somebody else says, wow, what have you done? You look really different. You look really good. I'm like, well, I got my hair cut. So then you're like,
we don't see ourselves the way other people see us. And I almost didn't go to Florida. I wasn't going to go because I don't want to see people. But you just have to realize that people don't look at you that way. I don't want to go on vacations. I don't want to do anything. But people don't look at you that way.
I totally get it. And, and it's so funny because you think, there are people out there that are that are dealing with, okay, I need to lose 5 or 10 pounds like I used to be dealing with, you know, and now I'm at, I have to lose 30 pounds, another 30 pounds. And you were at, you needed to lose, what, 400 pounds?
Well, see, that's the reason I had gastric bypass. I couldn't wrap my head around getting through a day when I knew there was 400. But do you know, so many people feel willpower in the beginning. I don't. I get willpower from the momentum. When I saw 100 pounds off, I was like, oh, my God, this is doable.
Yeah. But, you know, and I actually saw an article somebody wrote, and it's like, I didn't lose 200 pounds. I lost 1 pound 200 times. And I was like, damn, that's good. That's good, because what a great way to think of it, 1 pound at a time. Instead of looking at that big number, like I looked at 50 pounds, I'm like, holy crap, I can't possibly lose 50 pounds, you know, without help, which is why I did the
And you know how I look at 50? Well, when I was 500 pounds, 50 pounds wouldn't have even, it took 140 before somebody said, did you get your hair done? You don't even know.
But then
all of a sudden, overnight, of course, it showed. But I'm just saying, like 50 pounds now on me will make a world of difference. But you have to understand, 50 pounds is very doable.
Yeah, it is doable, and I'm doing it. I'm taking my time, and you know what? I'm also giving myself a little bit of a break. I think, you know, you have to be gentle with yourself all the time, but especially when you're trying to make a big change in your life. And a weight is a big change. It's a big deal, because you want to do it in a healthy way, and you want to do it in a permanent way. You know, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it temporarily. You know,
I want to tell you that's the difference in getting diseases later. One of the side effects from having gastric bypass and losing 368 pounds in 3 years is that I got a very severe case of kidney stones. Now, do I wish I didn't do what I did? No, I got a life back. But it's the way you do something that could also affect your health. And it's very important to pick a way. Losing weight quick can set you up for a lot of bad things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to tell you, I did, I don't know if you've ever heard of the HCG diet.
Yes, I've heard of them all.
Well, I did HCG, the homeopathic version. And it was basically you take these drops like half an hour before you eat. And I lost 40 pounds. This was about, I would say, 6 years ago, maybe, and I lost 40 pounds, and actually, I think it was like 45 pounds, and it was over like 3 months. It was fast, but you're restricted to 500 calories a day, and they have to be certain calories. You know, they were telling
you. Do you understand? You can't do. Do you know that the Jews in the concentration camps were starved on 600 calories?
Yeah, that's mind-blowing to me. You know, the whole
and you
thing
can't
with
maintain.
Kids,
you can't maintain.
They claim that their claim is that with HCG that you're basically, your body thinks that because of this hormone you're taking, that your body thinks that you're actually having 2,000 calories a day, but it's basically feeding off of fat and stuff. I don't know. I bought into it and I did it and it did work. I mean, it sure worked, but sure, I was having 500 flipping calories a day. That's not a lot of
calories. It works to have 90 lemons a day too. But I have to tell you something, and I'm just a very blunt person. I totally get how you did. We're all in different places in the tunnel. And I know for sure I could not buy into that, because I have learned the hard way that, like you said before, only one thing does it. So why are we spending a fortune? You know, everybody should be getting a support system. And everybody might need to talk to a shrink once a week. You know why? Because then you just dump your problems. You don't have to dump them on your friends. You walk away. It's all about support. Spending all this money on dieting, and I did it my whole life. Like we said, we're all in different places in the tunnel. But it's just the truth is, it's about portion size, exercise, and just doing it over time, over and over.
Yeah, and I really think there's something to taking it a pound a day, or not a pound a day, a pound at a time, looking at it like a pound at a time. I wish it were a pound a day. That'd be cool. But, yeah, I'd be done.
I did that, and I got sick.
Yeah. I'd be like supermodel looking right now. I'd be in great shape, but yeah, no. Yeah, and you're right. I probably have some horrible disease because I did it. So, but Yeah, I don't think it's healthy. I think it's, you know, you've got to watch your portions. And if it takes something like Nutrisystem or if it Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers, which I think Weight Watchers is probably the best. I hate to cook, so I don't do Weight Watchers because I don't like to cook. And I need, like, when I'm hungry, I'm like, I need something to eat now. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to start cooking. I want to eat it. I need to eat
it
now.
Right. And do you know that a diet is different as a signature is? Everybody needs something different. One person shouldn't eat bagels, and I have to tell you, I can't go on Weight Watchers. I think people sometimes get annoyed with me because they really try to sell it to me. I've tried it a million times. Coming from where my brain is coming from, and I think it's a fantastic program. If you tell me fruits are free, I'm having 90 bananas that day. My brain doesn't deal with free food.
That totally makes sense. I mean, you can't, and fruit should never be a freebie. Fruit has a lot of sugar in it, and bananas have a lot of calories. I don't think fruit should ever be. I think vegetables should be a freebie. I do. It's not on Nutrisystem, but I do. They do encourage you. They try to get you to say, okay, I'm having, you know, so many vegetables a day. You know, but if I'm going to have vegetables, guess what? I'm going to open a can of beans or something because I'm not picking them from the garden, for God's sakes, and cooking them. I'm not either.
I lost 300 pounds eating out. People say you can't eat out. Ira and I love to eat out. You can eat out. For everybody who takes me to a restaurant, I can find them a healthy meal. But do you understand, there are three tools I need in my life, and every time I use them, I lose weight. One is a measuring cup. One is a measuring spoon, and one is a weight scale. Do I do it always? No. I do it when I'm trying to get back on track because these eyes don't know what 4 ounces of chicken look like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I bought my first food scale when I was on HCG because you could have 4 ounces of chicken. Once a week I would have a high-end filet steak, a filet mignon or something. But it had to be a certain ounces. And I had no idea. I'm like, what does 4 ounces of anything look like? I don't know. You know what I can
And I don't even want to do it from a position of being on a diet. I know you have to just, you can't have huge, like I could never go on the Atkins because I couldn't eat steak all day. First of all, it isn't good to eat steak all day, but I'm saying that's how mine would take it. But when I'm saying in the morning, when I get up, I could eat like a whole tin of cottage cheese with Splendor in it. So I literally put it in the measuring cup because then I don't feel like I blew it that day. I know for sure I didn't.
Right.
And that's, everybody's different. Nobody should say this is my way, that is your way. I personally couldn't be on Nutrisystem. I tried. I went on QVC. I ordered the big box. I got really excited. I just didn't. I'm sorry. I mean, everybody did it. I just couldn't fathom the taste of the food. I couldn't.
The food, you know what it is. And, like, I pick my own stuff every time. But I tried, like, all the stuff that was four and five star ratings, you know. And I got some of it. I'm like, oh, my God, this tastes like ass. I'm sorry. But that's what I said. I'm spitting it out, right? But then it was like, I find something else, and I'd be like, wow, this is actually really good. You know, I don't think I've ever said really good, but I think I said...
By then you were hungry.
But there are certain things that I order every time that I really like. They have their fettuccine Alfredo. It's this weird thing. You put some water in it, and it's this little mix, and, you know, it's good. I kind of like it.
And everybody likes different stuff, but just let me tell you something. You know how you just said vegetables should be free? Whenever I go on a diet like that, and I told you I do that when I'm trying to get myself back on track, but for no more than a month as much, you know, more than that, I will have an unlimited, the most gorgeous salad at all times in my refrigerator. I put on, you know, whatever I want to put on it, and there's nothing. I don't care what diet program tells you. There's no way you can't have a huge salad with every one of these meals.
It's about what you put on top of it. I even buy, like, the pre-mixed salads because that's how lazy I am and that's how much I really don't like to cook. I love my
kitchen. Now I really know I love you.
I'm bad. I'm really bad. Seriously, one of the biggest reasons I put on weight was because of how often we ordered out. You know, I don't like to cook.
Because I was single. I attest, that is the reason I lost so much weight because I left nothing in my house. And people said, but that's so expensive. I said, I don't care. So are funerals. Literally, I went out every day and bought day to day because I didn't have a child. I had that luxury. So, like,
right.
moving in with my fiancé, it was very difficult because he can sit with, like, things that I can't sit with. And I finally had to say to him, like, I'm very bad with bread. I said, you have to keep the wraps in your closet or in the outside closet. And he didn't get it at first. And this is a man who's had my illness. I said, because I won't stop eating them and you can keep them in the refrigerator. And that doesn't
right.
make me a bad person because I can eat cheese and you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, if I start eating bread, oh, my God, I love nothing better than, like, a warm roll and butter. You know what I mean? A bread is my thing. I love bread. And I love sugar, but I think maybe they're related because, you know, of the carb thing. I don't know. But I love.
Oh, yeah. I could live without food. I'm a major sugar addict.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I love
I want to tell you something, Lisa. Like, I want to tell you listeners. I have a food group on Facebook. They would have to just friend me, and I would put them in because it's private. People don't want people seeing in the news feed when they're talking about things to do with. And not just
yeah.
weight. It's people. You understand, it's also people with just low self-esteem issues, okay? But it's mostly food-related. And it's a very positive group, so I welcome anyone. It's private. And then I have another group called Stacey Halpern's Total Beauty, and that's public, and I just have a lot of fun with it. And I'm having really a lot of fun with the groups. And if you want to just go to my website, stacyhalpern.com, the links are right on the first page.
All right, that's cool. And that's a great thing because I think that's you're right. People don't like putting all their stuff out there. Or, you know, you just don't know who's on the other end of the computer. You know what I mean? And are they actually poking fun or having some kind of, you know, do. You know, people are weird. People are mean sometimes, you know, and you've got to deal with people being very critical and are they trying to have some kind of fun at your expense? And you get real suspicious. So it's really good that it's not an open group. I think that's a super good thing.
Right. And
you know,
once in a while, somebody slips past the cracks and I think it's all right.
Sure.
Usually I literally go and see if there's a friend connection or I go to just look at their page. But once in a while, somebody slips through. And of course, you know, people do that. But it's a very positive thing that I can't even tell you. I know people complain about Facebook, and I know there's bad things happening, and my mother, God bless her, thinks it's like no way she would ever go on it. I have gotten the biggest support group, bigger than anything I've ever done, bigger than going to group therapy. I can log on at any time, and there's going to be someone there to talk to. Now, I'm glad I didn't have the internet at 500 pounds because I would have hid behind, and I probably would have never lost weight. I would have become, pretended I was thin, and you know, I would have been a catfish. But I'm saying it's a great support system for people to use. So instead of thinking about taking pills, you can start just there building your support group, like on the internet. You just have to pick and choose.
I just went and joined what you were talking, Total Beauty Group and the Food Group. I'm already following you on Twitter. By the way,
I have two more groups, but I don't want people to get overwhelmed. I have Treasure Hunt, and I'm in love with my dog.
I saw Treasure Hunt. That's so cute. Stacey's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, obviously, and then she's got the different groups. But if you go to StaceyHalpern.com, and Stacey is Stacey, it's with an E, and Halpern is Halpern. I'm weird. I spell everything because I think people get lost really easily with URL
address.
I always do that. I'm always spelling everything and repeating everything. I don't know. Maybe it's an OCD. Who knows? Anyway.
No, but on the radio, you can't always hear exactly either.
Exactly.
Like every letter.
I think that's true, too. So anyway, go there. Go to StaceyHalpern.com. If you go under Stacey's store, you will see her book. All right. So Winning After Losing, the book is right there. She'll actually She'll personally sign a copy of it and mail it to you if you buy it from her website. I'm sure it's also on Amazon and all of that, right?
Right. And if you've never seen the movie I did years ago called Dress Code. You can see it free on Hulu. I play the lead. I'm 500 pounds. I have a son in the movie that wears dresses, and I have Shirley MacLaine plays my mother-in-law. Kathy Bates plays the nun at the school that my son goes to, even though I'm really Jewish in real life. Everyone thinks I look Italian. And it's a fun movie to show kids of the right age because it's a real statement on prejudice. I'm fat in the movie. I don't mind that word, by the way. It's just a word. My son wears dresses, and his best friend is a little black girl. So it really, kids love it, like of the right age, where they can really learn about prejudice. And also the gay community loves it. But it's just like, it's like a real campy sort of a fun film.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like one, and it's actually interesting because I wanted to, I do want to watch that. I haven't seen that yet. I kind of, for some reason, the name sticks in my head, the name of it. I don't know why. I don't know if I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I saw, is it on Netflix?
I don't know that. I know that it's, I'm sure you could buy it on Netflix, or I'm not sure about Netflix, but I know it's free on Hulu.
Yeah, Netflix is a you don't pay for them, you pay for like a subscription, and I'm on Netflix
right.
all the time, so I could have run across it. If it's on Netflix, I could have run across it there. I know the name of it sounds familiar.
Well,
but,
it came out on Stars in the beginning, and it was called Bruno, but when it goes to a movie where they're selling it on video, they sometimes change the name for many different reasons.
Right.
But they still
show
it on Stars a lot.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I don't even know if I have that. My TV is so complicated. I don't even know how to work it. My husband just bought a new one. I was complaining on Facebook last night. I took a picture of it. I'm like, really? You're not allowed to go to Best Buy anymore. No more Best Buy
no.
for my husband. He bought a TV.
You understand that TVs are God to men.
Oh, my God. I think it's a penis.
What my fiancé thinks of that remote, I just don't even know.
I don't. Well, and it's like a penis thing. I swear, they have to have the biggest. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and they don't watch anything for very long.
No.
Flipping
through the channels. Flipping. I'm
embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say this anyway. I live on Bravo.
Oh, really? That's great.
He makes fun of me. He makes fun of me, but it's my guilty pleasure. But the truth is, I spent so many years locked up in my apartment. I don't want to be in. There is never a day, I don't care if there's 15 inches of snow on the ground in New York, I had to get out. I had this feeling like I can't be in anymore. And so TV is a thing when I go to bed, I watch it just for a little while, but TV to men, the bigger the screen, I don't know what it is.
I don't either, but my husband just brought home one, I don't know, and then I couldn't get it. I couldn't even figure out how to work. It's a smart TV. I'm like, really? Because I can't even figure out how to turn it on, okay? So why can't I just say, if it's so smart, why can't I say turn on TV and it turn on?
Oh, my God. I don't get it. I just give it. You know what I do now? I give him the remote and I say, honey, watch whatever you want, because also men fall asleep quick when they're watching TV. And then I can watch Bravo all night.
Yeah, he sits there and he's like watching sport after sport after sport, flipping between football, baseball, hockey, basketball, racing, car racing, all that kind of crap. He's flipping between channels, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just want to kill myself. I can't take it anymore.
We like a lot of the same shows. Good. Like, we love Shark Tank and stuff like that. But I don't get – I am not a sports person.
I'm not either. I mean, I'll watch sometimes when the Eagles play because, you know – but not always. Derry actually keeps up better with, and she lives in Florida. She keeps up better with the Eagles than I do. I just don't care about football. I don't care. It's just not something that's.
Do you know
deal.
That I say to my fiance, I say, when he gets into real, like he's really good about it because he really would rather be out with me. He loves shopping too, so I love that about him. But when he gets really into it, I go, I miss my gay friends. I need my gay friends. Why can't you be gay?
I know that's actually so true. Some of the most fun people I know are you know, some of the people I love hanging out the most with are my gay friends. I love them. I do. They're just fun.
God.
They're so real.
They are.
They're just so real. And I'm a very blunt person like you are. I'm a very, you know, I say what I think and I, you know, then I don't always think before I say it.
Why you're on the radio.
Exactly. So I talk. I'm a talker. I'm talking all the time. But I think it's kind of like that kind of thing where they're very real and they're very honest and there's nothing off limits to talk about. I love that.
Right.
You know, I love that there's no topic off limits. You're not going to offend these people. I mean, really.
No. They're going to offend you. My gay friends constantly.
Yeah.
So I have a heavy gay friend, and you know, heavy people can call each other fat. It's just a thing. You know, with lots of things are like that. So my heavy friend who's gay can call me fat ass. I can't explain it to you. It's just like a thing. But, you know, it's just like they're fun. They're just a lot of fun. And being down here, the first thing I did was like, where am I going to find the gays? My fiance loves my friends. They're so colorful.
Oh, that's really good. That's good because that's important. You know, your friends are your friends are important, and you wanna like each other's friends. I'm so glad you were able to come on tonight. And do you have anything coming up? You talked about the jewelry line. Is there anything else you've got coming up that you want to tell everybody?
I could be announcing a reality show, but you have to understand when I auditioned for this movie, it took a year and a half till I was on the set. So it's a lot of ups and downs. It's like yes and no and yes, but it's being shopped out to networks. Honestly, truthfully, I belong on television, so I think it's going to end up there. But, you know, I just love performing. I love acting. It's just always been a passion since I'm a little kid.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, you know, there are the worst things you could be, you know, loving to do.
Right. I have to tell you, it was really a pleasure talking to you. There's nobody listening to us. That's what I feel like.
We went way over, and we think alike, and we have some of the same problems, and and I think that it makes for a very smooth, easy interview when you can just like talk like friends, you know, and kind of go through the just having a good time, you know, and I think people
Absolutely.
Like hearing that. Sure as hell hope they do, because you know they're listening.
A lot of times very thin women relate to me, and I was like, why are you telling me you watch my story on Oprah? And it's like a self-esteem thing. It's not, you can have low self-esteem. They'll say to me, I relate to you when you talk about not liking your body because I don't like my body. And even though I kill for their body, it doesn't matter. It's in their head what is bad to them.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to say earlier, and I forgot, it slipped out of my mind, but I remember an Oprah show that she did back years and years and years ago that stuck with me all these years. And understand, I don't remember anything, okay? I have, like, the world's worst memory. I remember she did this show, Are You As Cute As You Can Be?
Right.
And it was all about, it didn't matter what your weight was. It didn't matter, you know, it didn't matter, like, what imperfections you had. Are you dressing like you're a supermodel? Are you, you know, are your nails done nice? Or, you know, do you have, it's kind of about feeling, feeling good. It stuck with me all those years where I was always like, every time I would get in a slump, I'd be like, ugh, you know, I need to lose weight. I need to do this. And I'm like, I got to go back and ask, you know, I got to go think of that show again. And I'm like, am I as cute as I can be? Not right now, no. I need to work on that. You know, it's stuck with me. It really has.
And it's amazing. It stuck with you because I know people who literally say to me, they buy things and they say, I won't use them or wear them, even if it's a pocketbook, until I'm thin. And that is really dangerous.
Because
you need to feel fantastic today so you can get through the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? The better you – and dress for your size. You know what? Dress the size you are. Okay? Everybody just – you know, I know you all want to be a size 6 or whatever, but bottom line is, you know, you don't want to have a smaller size on, and that just makes you look so much heavier, I think, you know?
So does having a much larger size, too, and it all being baggy and you think you look thin. It's really about getting the right size, even if you can't face the size.
Right. You've got to dress for your size. And I think that's so, so, so important, because I think no matter how big you are, how small you are, whatever, when you're wearing the right size clothing, you know, you look good. You look well put together, you know, and I think that that's so important. And I see this all the time with people like, oh, I will not buy the next size up in jeans. I will not. I'm like, oh, you should, because,
you'd rather have a muffin top.
Yeah, exactly. Take the muffin top, live with the muffin top, and, you know, I'd rather not have a muffin top and be wearing a size bigger than I want to be, you know? I mean,
You want to look more pulled together. And Lisa, just remember this. You know, everybody's at a different level. And where you are right now, I know you think it's the worst for you, but it's not. It's not the worst. It just isn't. I mean, I would have killed to have been able to go and pick clothes out, and I couldn't pick clothes out. And that's why I got obsessed with everything else around clothes, like all the accessories and all that stuff, because that's all I could do. And so you look as best as you can for today, not because you're competing with other people, and you don't have to do this. I'm just saying my opinion is you'll feel better about yourself if you think you deserve to put something nice on today.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, there's so much about, like, you know, how you make yourself feel good. Walking around in pajama bottoms or those lounge pants, whatever the heck they're called. All right, that's fine. If you're at home, walk around in your lounge pants all day long. If you're pajama jeans. But don't go to Wawa in them, okay? Oh my gosh, that drives me crazy. People go out in these pajama bottoms and they're like, they're not pajamas, they're lounge pants. And I'm like, okay, they're pajama pants.
You know, when I came to the South, it was the first time I went to Walmart. There isn't a Walmart in Manhattan. And people here couldn't believe I had never been in a Walmart. And I was like, where is this place where you can do your nails, go to Subway, wear stretch pants? I just was like, I had no clue where I was.
That's hysterical. It's so funny. Yeah, it's like its own little planet, Walmart.
It's like Planet Walmart.
Planet Walmart. That's so funny. All right. Well, I loved having you on the show, and I hope you'll come back again. And make sure you keep me posted with what's going on with the reality show and the jewelry thing, because we can have you back on talking about whatever you've got coming up anytime you want. So just let me know, and we'll have you back on.
Fantastic. I will love it. And next time, we won't even talk about dieting.
Yeah, right. Sure we won't.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
It was a
and
pleasure.
And, you know, your show is adorable.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for being on. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Stacey. Bye.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Okay. So that was Stacey Halpern, everyone. And you can find out more about Stacey at StaceyHalpern.com. That's StaceyHalpern. HALPIN, and you can find her book there, and you can find out all the different things that she's got going on her website, and follow, and you can get to all her social media sites through there as well. She's got some fantastic groups on Facebook that she started that I think, you know, whether you're into beauty and things like that, or you're, you know, needing a support group for weight loss, she's got it going on there. So anyway, I want to say thank you again to Stacey for being on the show, and get well to Daria Ann, who is under the weather tonight. And but you know, once in a while one of us can't do the show. She's covered for me several times, and you know, I don't think I've ever had to cover for her before. Maybe one other time, I don't know. Anyway, so next up on the Right Stream lineup, by the way, is Friday, The Speculative Fiction Cantina by S. Evan Townsend. He is on at 6 p.m. tomorrow, so tune in. Go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream with the W, right is in rating, rightstream, and you will be able to find all of our shows, all of our archive shows, whether you want to hear my show on Sundays, Just Believe, or Military Monday on Mondays, or Tuesdays, Right Stream Tuesdays with Darianne, whatever you want to hear. Even back Love and Liberty and Lip Gloss episodes with myself and Daria, you know, you can find all of those shows archived at the blogtalkradio.com/rightstream site. And also our main website, which has feed that shows our shows, is rightstreamradio.com. You can learn about each of the shows that we currently have on the air, and you can learn about each of the hosts that currently host a show. Also, again, anybody interested in hosting a show on the Right Stream Network, we have Saturdays open right now. So please send us an email, go to the contact page at rightstreamradio.com, and you can fill out the form, and Darian and I will get an email, and we'll get in touch with you. My website, by the way, lisatarvis.com. You can go there and learn everything there is to know about Lisa Tarvis, me. And then you can also follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. Just put in Lisa Tarvis. You can't miss me. I'm everywhere. And I even started using Instagram, even though I really still don't understand it. I'm trying to figure it out. Anyway, so you can follow me all those places Next week, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss again on Thursday. And then on the Sunday, I'll be on the air with Just Believe. And we're going to be welcoming back a psychic that everybody loved when she was on before, Jennifer Hicks. She's going to be doing live readings for us on the air. So definitely listen to that. Just Believe with me, Lisa Tarvis, 7 p.m. on Sunday. If you follow me on any of the social media sites, you'll get lots of reminders that get tweeted out about the upcoming shows. So thanks, everyone, so much for listening. It was a really fun show. Stacey was a joy to have on, and we will talk with you next week. Thanks, everyone.